Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There are some smells that can evoke an entire part of your life. Is that right for you all as well? Peanut butter and jelly is one of those smells for me. And it's not just because we still have children who regularly eat peanut butter and jelly. But when I worked with the street church group, for those of you who have not heard sermons on this before, when I was in seminary, I worked with an outdoor street ministry that was formative for me in many, many ways. But I have not shared with you the ways that peanut butter and jelly sandwiches were formative for me as a priest. We would gather before the street church service in the kitchen of the Church of the Epiphany and make hundreds of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So that smell, as you can imagine, hundreds of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, was very strong. But the thing that was most special to me about that time was sitting next to Jewel. Jewel was in her late 80s when I knew her, and she was one of the founding members of the street church team. She had worked for the DC government for many years and was an extraordinarily faithful and kind and giving woman with a spine of steel. I would come in to the Epiphany kitchen, all a flutter about something at seminary or the DC traffic or something like that, and she would just pat a stool next to her and say, "Child, come here and sit a minute." And then she would pass me the bread and pass me the knife, and we would go about making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches together. And it seemed that no matter what we talked about, which some weeks could be fairly mundane chit-chat, and other weeks she had the uncanny ability to bring out of me reflections and depth in the midst of this hubbub that were shocking to me. Conversation with Jewel was a tremendous gift. I felt seen and heard for exactly who I was. It was such an exceptional blessing to spend time with her and then to walk up to Franklin Square Park and see her having these beautiful, simple interactions with the volunteers and the guests who would join us there. In looking into her beautiful brown eyes, seeing her smile, exchanging the fewest words with her, you knew that you had been touched by God. So smelling a peanut butter and jelly sandwich has the wonderful benefit for me of that sense of welcome and acceptance. When we read this gospel lesson today, and we imagine these crowds and these disciples who are so desperately seeking Jesus, we can only imagine that it is that sense of acceptance, that welcome, that peace, the true nourishment that they received from being in our Lord's presence that they so hungrily sought. They traveled after him, after the feeding of the 5,000, which Elizabeth so beautifully preached on last week. You can only imagine how desperate they were to reconnect with that sense of being fed. But like us, pretty quickly the disciples in the crowd confuse what the source of that nourishment was. We as human beings want to cling to the earthly things that we experience in our lives. It would be very easy for me to think that that source of welcome and peace and acceptance that I found with Jewel was attached to Jewel. And in some ways it certainly was. Her gift of presence and deep listening was most definitely a charism that our Lord had given to her. But it was God's love flowing through Jewel that made me feel so whole and so peaceful. as human beings, we can get so distracted by the temporal things, by the manna, by the feeding of the meal with the 5,000, that particular bread, that special place where you feel so close to God. We can attach our hopes, our dreams, our desires to the people and the places that make us feel peaceful and special and accepted, and lose track of the fact that it is God's love. It's Jesus reaching to you through these people, in these places, that ultimately gives you that deep sense of well-being. Jesus is in such a rich dialogue with his disciples in this gospel passage, commending to us the incredible gift of spiritual companions who will wrestle with you around these deep issues. Whether it is friends, life partners, teachers, spiritual directors, people in your church communities, we all are desperately hungry and seeking Jesus. And it is often in individual people that the love and the grace of God flows into our lives. We have a great gift this morning. Not only are we celebrating two birthdays, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, but we have the Reverend Susan Flanders with us from the Diocese of Washington. Susan has written a beautiful book called Going to Church, and in it she chronicles her spiritual journey and the ways that seeking and finding can appear in our lives in the most surprising and unexpected ways. So after we celebrate Mary and Alice's birthdays, I hope that you will stay and hear Susan's presentation on her book and reflect on how seeking in your own life has manifested. One of the things that is most extraordinary about seeking is the times when people help us correct our course. Jewel, for all of her warmth and her friendliness, could also, with three words, shut down an unproductive conversation. Or I have a spiritual director that I worked with many years ago at a Zen Buddhist monastery out in Santa Fe, New Mexico, who also worked in the Christian traditions as well. So it was always a very rich and interesting conversation about prayer and meditation and God and all this. And I am embarrassed to imagine walking in to have an interview with her one day, sitting down and, you know, pontificating on some vision, some thought, some idea, some theory. And she listened for about 3 minutes, and then she looked at me and said, "Libby, cut the crap." That's exactly what I needed. So what do you hear right now? Right now, what do you hear? And sure enough, there was the most beautiful bird calling right outside the Zendo. And she said, "What do you smell?" I hadn't even noticed that she was burning incense. When we have friends or spiritual directors who are companioning us and in conversation with us and are fearless in saying, "Knock it off. Where's the Lord in that? Where are you open to Jesus? You are seeking so hard that you are not allowing yourself to be found." This is the most extraordinary thing about this gospel passage to me, that even people who are standing right in front of Jesus are still seeking him. We have just as ready access to him in Holy Scripture, in the sacraments, and the love that we bear into each other's lives. And yet it can be so difficult for us to quiet ourselves in prayer and allow ourselves to be found. I hope this week, as you pray with these crowds of people who are seeking, with your story, with Susan's story, with the stories of those who you value and trust in your life, that you will allow whatever gentle corrections need to happen in your life to draw you into a place where you can accept the love that Jesus is so ready to offer you. It is so easy to seek.
It is so difficult to quiet ourselves and let ourselves be found. But that's the place that will experience an acceptance and a joy and a wholeness that can only come from God.